From the Evening Standard in London, this is The Leader. Hi, I'm David Marsland. They're calling it Super Saturday. There will be marching in the streets, there will be furious clashes in Parliament. And after it all, we may know the future of Brexit very soon. But can this country ever move on?
Certainly the country is divided. The question is, can you get a deal over the line that people will accept as a reasonable compromise?
The Evening Standard's political editor, Joe Murphy, doubts it. Later.
Simply telling the stories that we've heard over and over again of youth violence doesn't do much but desensitise people to the problem.
US-style family therapy is coming to East London to help tackle gang crime, why we're welcoming it. And
I'm in Oita in southern Japan, where England are taking Australia tomorrow in the quarterfinal of the World Cup. This is their biggest game in 8 years.
Our rugby correspondent Will McPherson's in Japan as the typhoon-battered tournament enters its final stages and England face their own Super Saturday. Taken from the Evening Standard's editorial column, this is The Leader. For the whole thing, pick up the newspaper or head to standard.co.uk/comment. In a moment, Joe Murphy, our political editor, on the big Brexit decision.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What do we want?
The people's vote.
Previous People's Vote marches have seen EU flags hoisted high above crowds of hundreds of thousands. The latest in London is looking for a record attendance, and it comes as MPs debate the surprise Brexit deal dropped by the Prime Minister via Twitter. It's a day dubbed Super Saturday. Here's our verdict.
A divided nation voted on Brexit in the referendum, and those divisions have only hardened since then. No single choice now will heal that.
We don't want no Brexit!
We don't want no Brexit!
What do we want?
Brexit!
What do we want?
Brexit!
The Brexit deal, even if it passes, is not really a final deal, but simply an agreement to turn to the next stage of talks on our country's long-term relationship with Europe. MPs with many different views may come together to give the Prime Minister a majority.
The extraction having been done, the building now begins. And I'm very confident that when my colleagues in Parliament study this agreement, that they will want to vote for it on Saturday and then in succeeding days.
It would be a vote to move on, but on to what? We don't know. MPs may vote the deal down and decide that a second referendum must be held. If that is what Parliament decides, the government should respect it.
Our political editor, Joe Murphy, has been backwards and forwards between London and Brussels over the last couple of days, keeping up with developments. He's in our really busy Westminster office right now. Joe, while MPs debate the deal, there's a protest in the streets and everyone's got an opinion on the way forward. This Super Saturday really shows that there's a lot of division in the country.
Certainly the country is divided. We carried a massive poll of polls a week ago which showed that since the referendum, opinion has crept slightly more Remain, but we're still split as a nation 53-47. The question is, can you get a deal over the line that people will accept as a reasonable compromise? And that has the potential to happen, according to Oliver Letwin, who's been one of the big rebels, but says he'll be backing this deal tomorrow. because it comes somewhere in the middle range of what people will accept.
How are the numbers looking for Boris Johnson in Parliament?
Right now, to me, by my count, it's looking at least 15 short. So that's on the basis that there are 287 Tory MPs. He's going to lose some. It's alleged that there are two ministers on resignation watch today, but he's going to get at least 17, I'm told, of the whipless 21, plus a couple of other independents. And though 15 needs to be filled by Labour MPs. Can he get 16 Labour MPs? It's a tough call.
Now, I can imagine that probably all through the night and all through today and possibly into tomorrow morning, lots of MPs will have found themselves buttonholed in the corridors at Westminster. Maybe some of them might have been taken out for a nice cup of tea and a chat in an attempt to persuade them to go with the government. But we do also have this People's March taking place. Can that, if it gets numbers, have any influence on the MPs as they go into the chamber?
Well, it packs a huge emotional punch, and it will influence in a specific way with the Labour Party. So the emotional punch comes when you're going to have tens of thousands of people marching through London, possibly hundreds, and a huge crowd in Parliament Square as MPs are preparing to vote. And the particular traction that could have on the Labour Party is that we're revealing today that John McDonnell, the Shadow Chancellor, is going to be the big star headline speaker at that final say march. Now, John McDonnell treads a very tight line on being loyal to Jeremy Corbyn, his great friend, but also pushing and pushing for Labour to actually vote for a referendum on this particular deal. Now, Jeremy Corbyn has said he's up for a public vote and a final say on Brexit, but he's never actually committed to a referendum on Boris Johnson's deal. John McDonnell, speaking to The Standard, is quite explicit that there should be a referendum on this particular deal. Labour has yet to put down any amendment that would actually cause that to happen. And this big rally might be the final thing that gets Labour MPs and Mr Corbyn in particular to say, come on, we can't sit on the fence or be perceived to sit on the fence because that's damaging too. So let's have a referendum vote. And that could be a game changer if it happens. And I'm not saying it will happen, and I'm not saying they'd win it in the Commons either. They did try that on Mrs May's deal at one point and it didn't make any difference.
Next. Family therapy has been a success in the US, where it's used to tackle violent crime. Why we think it'll be a useful import here.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The impact of knife crime in London this year has been undeniable.
He got stabbed to death on the 13th of September 2016 outside his home.
We knew that today was going to be hard and that no matter what form of punishment was given, nothing will ever bring Yusuf back home to us. Nothing will ever ease our heartache.
We've come down today because we need to stop knife crime.
Unfortunately, over the last 10 years, I've lost two young people that I've worked with in my sort of role as a youth worker. So we need to support our most vulnerable young people in, we need to increase the peace, and we need to create more opportunities for our young men who are at risk of getting involved in knife crime. Not just young men, I think young women.
Blood on their hands!
Blood on their heads!
Whose streets?
Our streets!
Whose children?
Our children!
An East London borough is to trial a family therapy scheme. It's an attempt to reduce gang violence and an idea brought over from the US, where studies have shown it can bring down youth crime. The Standard believes it can work here too.
This is a welcome bid to address the root causes of the type of offending that has led to so much bloodshed on the capital's streets. Under the scheme, to be implemented in Redbridge, a clinical therapist will spend 5 months working with vulnerable youngsters and their parents or carers to identify and overcome negative patterns of behaviour within the family that might otherwise push them towards gangs. It is the much-vaunted public health approach in action and is much needed at a time when knife crime in London is at record levels. Other councils should either follow the scheme's lead or pursue alternatives that can target the cause of offending. Success will save lives.
Now. At the time of recording this podcast, England are still in the Rugby World Cup and preparing for the quarterfinal clash with Australia. The tournament's entering its closing stages in Japan, a country that's been praised for keeping the show going, despite some games being hammered by a tornado. Our rugby correspondent, Will McPherson, is in Oita for the match. Will, how's the city preparing for it all?
Oita is quite a quiet little spot down on the down in southern Japan. Beppu is where England are staying, just up the road. And so this week it's been a town. It's got a great stadium just outside. It's a town that's been getting into the World Cup. Like really, you can sense the World Cup is here. But actually, all week there haven't been too many fans here.
Is it expected to get busier, noisier for tomorrow?
People are just starting to pile into town. Australia and England, World Rugby say that they're the two of the travelling supporters, they're the two, they've sold the most tickets to fans from those two nations. So it makes sense that it's going to be going to get very lively in Oita and Beppu and all the towns nearby. England fans are staying as far away as Fukuoka, which is said 60 miles across the island and stuff like that. So I think the atmosphere will be sensational. The place is just starting to buzz a little bit, and everyone's very excited about tomorrow's game.
How prepared are England in comparison to Australia?
This is their biggest game in 8 years, almost without a doubt. They got through the group stages quite comfortably. They won their first three games, and then Typhoon Hagibis, which has been this devastating storm that hit Japan last weekend, saw their game against France last Saturday in Yokohama cancelled. So England going to this game in quite a rare situation, having not played for 2 weeks. So no one's quite sure what how they're shaping up. Their first two games were by England standards simple games against Tonga and the USA, and then they faced Argentina, who had a man sent off after 17 minutes, which meant that they actually haven't had a big bad test so far in this World Cup, which is very rare to get to a quarterfinal with that situation.
And what about Australia?
Australia, on the other hand, have come through a really tough group with Wales and Fiji. They beat Fiji, they lost to Wales, but they were two sort of big challenges, which they probably know a little bit more about themselves having come through those challenges, if that makes sense. Both coaches, Michael Checker of Australia and Eddie Jones of England, who's also an Australian, of course, sprung major selection surprises yesterday. Jones dropped George Ford, his fly half, who's been arguably England's best player at the World Cup so far, and Checker, as some Australian media are calling it, the biggest gamble in Australian World Cup history. They've picked a 19-year-old at outside centre, a bloke called Jordan Pataia, who hadn't made his international debut before this month.
That's the leader, taken from the Evening Standard's editorial column. It's our opinion, but we want yours. Get in touch and continue the conversation on social media. Use the hashtag TheLeaderPodcast. We're back on Monday.